Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ms. Gill, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
It's the first time I'm speaking to you, so I just try to be as polite as possible.
Pleasure.
Okay, today what I want to...
So quick question first, impressions count, don't they?
Yeah, should okay. Actually. Yeah, my thing is, I just want to ask a question which will be rhetorical probably. If you have a child as a parent, you ever realize that whenever you say to that child to keep from someone or to not to anything, if it's a girl or a boy, whoever, not to have anything to do with that boy or girl, that you always end up being very close?
Not even just a child. Generally, we, as curious homo sapiens, we try to do or question that thing which we are told is not for us. We want to know why it is not for us.
Well, on that note, what I'm saying is, very often, right, before political parties, like you are the government in power right now, and the people have invested 10 years in you to sort the problems of the country. Your first 5 years, you told the people that you need some more time, another 5 years to get things on stream, things are looking up, whatever. And the people are saying, look, at the end of your tenure, these are some of the things you have promised us. You promised that you would have cut the civil service. You promised that you would not have touched education. You promised that when you take back your 10%, you would have taken it back when the country has been on an improving note. You have promised to give us back 2.5% VAT that you did not either honor in the 18 months prior to now, another 5 years or so. And even to add insult to injury, you bring the NSRL, you know. And people can see that everything has cost of living, everything has gone up, skyrocketed under your watch. And all that you have promised, you seemingly, visibly have not delivered. How do you come back to people and instead of you addressing how you deal with these issues that people have, people can't make ends meet, whatever, to be trying to entertain people on people's business, that is the least important to anyone. And when you look at it and you look at moral authority, for instance, you cannot pick out anyone in the governing party to say they have any moral authority.
Careful, sir, administrator. I thought you were going to say that, and I said it earlier, you missed an opportunity being the ruling party to speak to the issues that, you know, explain where you are, talk about the platform, talk about the challenges that you face during the existing administration and where we are today and what plans we have in place to where we're going to take the country. That's what I mean when I say a missed opportunity. And we just got to be conscious how we say what we say, when we say what we say. So I take some of your points, but down to brass tacks. It's one of those things where we talk about critical issues and talk about things of the day. And this is really one topical issue because we're getting a lot of attention here on this. You're on the air, down to brass tacks. I'm not hearing you. Down to brass tacks. Yes.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm well. You sound like if you called earlier.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I'm not that lucky.
This is a different voice, yes.
Yeah. Glad you're back. I'm glad that you benefited from your sojourn in the foreign countries and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get my main point, I just want to say that I heard you made a statement to the effect that you're not a feminist, or if you weren't one before.
I said I have never taken that position. Understand where our female advocates stand. Because the issues are the same. I didn't say that I am now a feminist.
Oh,
I now have
sorry.
To understand feminism, research feminism before I can identify. But I can tell you I represent the interests of women.
I misunderstood you. My apologies.
That's all right.
Now, the thing, what I was going to say is that women in the Western Hemisphere enjoy a lot more freedoms and privileges than women in the Middle and the Far East, as you would know.
Actually, I don't share that view.
You don't?
No.
No, you remember...
What do you call freedoms?
You remember that Saudi Arabia has just approved women to drive for the first time?
The Crown Prince, that's 3 years ago.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But women were driving at Barbados 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He just approved women to go to the theater, which we have been doing for another 60 or 70 years. And he also approved women going to watch games, you know, in stadiums and so on. So
I have a new friend from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And one thing I'll tell you, what we call freedoms here, yes, there are things that we take for granted, things that we do normally, but there are some other things that we don't have and that aren't the same. Well, let me just say it again. But there are some other things that we would desire, which are afar off in our Western part of the world, which those people have everyday normalcy for them. Mm-hmm. So, there are different types of freedoms in different parts of the world, for sure.
Yes. Now, Ms. Gill, I want to comment briefly. I do not condone bad behavior in any forum. I do not condone name calling in any forum, but we have had this climate. We have a climate of name calling here that reaches not only among school children, you listen to them sometimes, but our House of Assembly has been the source, has been the site of a lot of disrespect shown between members and the speaker especially. I don't know if you've ever listened to the debates. I don't want to get in any details, but it is really sad sometimes to hear MPs referring to one side, referring to somebody on the other side as a pit bull. He's a pit bull. He's full of hot hair. And those kind of things, those kind of unparliamentary languages. And the way sometimes they treat the speaker when he's trying to rule on bringing law order to the House, it is not a pretty sight. And I would not like to see Barbados reach the stage where you see some European Parliament MPs fighting on the floor of the House and throwing books, and in some of the priorities doing the same thing. That is happening in the world today. MPs losing their temper, and in the House of Parliament, of all places. So what's happening on the political platform, I will not condone one way or the other. But I'm saying that the standards of parliamentary conduct nowadays are not what they used to be years ago. And people are, definitely their temper and the emotions get the better of them. And I think sometimes if you spoke to them, they will apologize. Because something happens to any of us, and all of us, at some point in time, you lose your temper, somebody says something, or they get... And you jump in there at the deep end. The other thing I want to say very quickly, ma'am. Every time I go to the bank, I get I get very upset now because you go to get a 15-minute service and you gotta wait for an hour and a half. Your passbook taken away. They don't give you anything to record your up to date transactions. You gotta buy a report or something like that. The interest on your savings is minimal, 10 cents on every $100 or 15 cents on $100. Meantime, the bank is investing your money, and they're getting anything from 7 up to 20% on the same money. And the depositors are left with nothing. And I think that this is something, and mind you, I think you know to read a balance sheet. We have 5 foreign banks in Barbados. We don't have no local bank, and that is really the subject of my concern. No local bank. 5 foreign banks, and they all report every year with other balance sheet how what profits they're making. And I have observed over the last number of years that each one of the banks here have profits over $200 million, and that's conserved a year. 5 foreign banks with profits over $200 million a year. And most of that money moves out of Barbados. How can a small economy like Barbados survive when Beijing's money making money, for people to export. And this is one of the biggest problems we have. The other problem we have right now is that the private sector, which owns much of the arable land in Barbados, that land is going to grass, courage, and all, and they're not earning anything. There's no vegetables, but if you don't want plant, you can't acquire with them. No vegetables, no animals, no fruit trees, nothing. At the same time, the same people are importing food using foreign exchange that they themselves, through their own effort, could reduce. I have the nerve to tell the government, you want foreign exchange with the IMF. No, I don't think that is, I don't think that's the way we should be behaving. I don't think that's the way we should be behaving. I saw this election is going to bring up a lot of very unsavory things that maybe we never anticipated. I was present the other day when a lady shouted across at some other people's pass and said, don't do that, stop it. And there's these two white women carrying down posters from a pole, carrying down blue posters. I mean, well, I've never seen that in my all the years in Barbados. I've never seen white carrying down posters, whether they were black, white, or green. And on top of that, two little boys on bicycles, white boys, one was doing the same thing. And I was so alarmed that adults were so stupid that we live in a democratic country. You, my favorite, as the gentleman said, the whites and the plant class and people favor the Barbados Labour Party, and that's their right. And at the same time, the black people who favor the DLP also have rights in this country. And to suggest...
The gentleman didn't say the whites and the plant class, so he said the business community. But I want to take you up on something, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
The comment you made at the very beginning about customer service, and then you went on to talk about banking and stuff. You sound as though you don't have any options.
But what?
Or you don't think you have any options.
Well, you can go to the credit union. But don't forget, the credit union still got one bank, the same bank. The credit union might give you a few more points interest, yes. But the credit
what union is it that you're after? What is it that you're after?
What I'm after is having the interest rate and benchmark at least between 1.5 and 2.5%. They're just in the United States.
Right. So I'm. Let me finish with you.
Yeah.
So you want more interest and you're not getting it from the bank.
That's right.
And you don't think the credit union can do it. Do you think you have another choice? Do you think you have another option?
But I don't know if you can do it except by government bonds or treasury bills or saying that.
Right. Have you ever considered that as an option?
Yeah, I have had.
Because we have as a country here, we have we have a risk-averse population generally. Mm-hmm. There are the few who do a couple bits of investment. Mm-hmm. I have a couple colleagues who do a lot of investment, to be honest, mm-hmm. and it's very encouraging. Mm-hmm. But we can do a little bit with some of the funds that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't think, I don't want you to think that you only have to save and that it stops there.
Mm-hmm.
There are different ways in which you can use your funds to mm-hmm. get a better return.
Mm-hmm.
You can invest it in, you can use a credit union, which is one of the very similar to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You can also enter in, I mean, some people don't like to do the risk of lending it to entrepreneurs and, you know, enter into an agreement to get back some form of interest, or you can even take a stake in another company and a part of a company, like 10%, so you benefit from their profits. You can also pool your resources with a couple, which is why you call it a large scale meeting term, with a couple others. Of course, you make sure that the risks are lower than in some instances, but you have options. And too many of us put our money in the bank and think that that's the only thing we can do.
Yeah. But Mr. Gary, see, man, you don't have a lot of money. Man, you don't have a lot of money to invest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just try to save up a few dollars. My father did, you know, in his time, and when the time came for him to, you know, depart, he said, but I saved a certain amount of money that at least you don't have to worry about this. You know, and that's what most poor people do. The problem is that without a national bank, we do not seem to have any control of the movement of foreign exchange in and out of the country. And the situation is that according to the not the World Bank, the other institution, the American IADB. 70% of our economic assets are now owned by non-nationals, whoever they are, whether they're Trinidad or U.S. The fact is that we no longer have control of those assets. And whereas, like, when we own 2%, 2%'s profits will stay here and expand in another store, more people. What we have now is downsizing. The banks are downsizing. They're reducing the number of branches. They're sending home people. They're making higher profits. And we have found ourselves in a bad way because we made some bad decisions in the past.
Right. And I would encourage you to not limit it to putting the money in the bank. There's the credit union, there are the bonds, they're, you know, lending to some whether it is an entrepreneur for a time period to come back and they have to give you back a certain sum. There are different creative ways we can use our little funds. Don't tell me your funds are too small. Somebody else may need them and they're willing to give you something back for it instead of tying up themselves in the bank and getting large interest. So I'll leave it there. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We are moving to the latest at this time. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon. Are you there with us? Yes, sir.
Yes. I'd like to make a contribution. I'm going to try and make it brief. One, I'm going to touch on the VLP meeting at the stadium. And I agree with a lot of sentiments that were discussed with regards to the behavior. And I would like to just sum it up in one word: frivolity. What was the bad behavior that was displayed? It's just a lot of frivolity. All right, let me go on to the next. Subject that I want to speak about.
I didn't hear the word properly. You said frivolity?
Yes.
Okay, right.
Right. The other thing that I want to talk about.
Phone lines, please.
Okay. Right. I just was hearing a lot of music in the background. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
What I'd like to speak on was the BLP launch. And I believe that the BLP has done an excellent job in terms of their launch. So there's a lot of persons who do not call this program who are listening very attentively to both programs, both the CBC and VOB. They're also listening to the utterances coming from both parties. And I strongly believe that 5 years ago, based on the mismanagement of the economy by the LP, the DLP persons have already made up their mind. So to me, it doesn't matter what those current ministers say. I mean, some people might just feel flabbergasted as to some of the things that they're saying. But I strongly believe that persons have made up their mind, and they're just waiting. And lastly, I would like to touch on the article that I think his name is Albert Canterbury that wrote in The Nation, as well as the follow-up comments made by the lady, the Trinidadian lady. And I just want to make a very valid point here. I strongly believe that Ms. Motley respects the office of Prime Minister. But her acting in writing a letter to the PM with regards to the Level Plus exams, with regards to CXC exams, with regards to the election date that people have been calling for is justified. And she is the loyal Queen's opposition representing the people of Barbados who does not have a voice in Parliament. And she has all rights to represent us. And if she feels within herself, based on the constituents, based on the persons who have voiced their concerns with regards to the election being not being held or not being announced, right? She is well within her rights because she has the support out there. And there's nothing wrong with writing a PM to voice concerns of the citizens of Barbados, who, in my opinion, are more important, right, than the position.
Okay.
That's my contribution. Thank you.
That's fair. Thank you very much. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
Lisa, I heard a clip from on the 12:30 news, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And you're, if I can sum up, because I didn't hear when you made the original comment, you're saying that whoever forms the government will have a lot of work to do as it relates to certain key areas. Mm-hmm. I want to, is that right? Am I saying that?
That was part of it, yes.
Sum it up. Okay. I want to just continue on that trend, but just to say, all those persons, I have noted persons, and most of them are voices you would have heard before, supportive of the Barbados Labour Party and condemning what went on Sunday night with the DLP. I believe some of the statements that were made, talking about somebody, you know, wearing a like this scarf. I mean, political peacock, but at the same time, I don't get involved with that. I like persons to discuss issues so I can listen. But they were discussing Ms. Motley as leader, but perhaps how they chose to do it. Persons are now not listening to what would have been said, because there's a lot of substantive thing they said. Even they said Dr. Eswick talked about they were warned by Sir Henry Ford not to put the sewage plant where it is, and they went ahead, blah, blah, blah. That has now been that has been submerged, and all people are discussing. And I believe it's a direct plot. The Barbados Labour Party supporters are not coming and talking about the policies Ms. Motley has put forward. And I noted in today's Nation newspaper and the Barbados Today, former Prime Minister and economist Mr. Owen Atta says that Ms. Motley's plan to increase non-contributory pension by 45% would bankrupt the NIS. And it is total madness. And
let me just get you clearly. Mm-hmm. You distance yourself from the negative comments that were made from the platform on Sunday night. Am I clear?
I'm not distancing myself from anything.
You like the negative comments that were said about Ms. Motley.
Am I saying I like the negative comments? Oh. I am saying there is hypocrisy, because Mr. Kerry Simon, when Ms. Motley was on the platform, called the Prime Minister rat botsy face. Mm-hmm. Nobody, you didn't hear them come in and say the same thing.
Right.
I don't.
So it's,
I
just,
not,
just let me respond to you. Mm-hmm. There was a caller that was on earlier, mm-hmm. and we talked about this. And I likewise, I don't think we need to go too far in the past, because the issue we're talking about is what happened on Saturday versus Sunday. Mm-hmm. And also, we're not accepting any form of mudslinging. So from either side. So if you cannot distance yourself from what was said on Sunday, I am sorry for you.
But Miss Gail, I'm not even going to spend a lot of time dealing with that.
We have to accept that it was not acceptable. And
accept that it is not something I would do. Mm. No, I would make a recommendation that people do. That's as far as I would go with that.
Okay.
I would not do that. That
right.
is not something that I enjoy, nor is it something I would recommend.
Right.
But at the same time, the BLP has been very disrespectful
right.
to the Prime Minister and the supporters. So
and
I'm
they
saying,
should not. Let me say my piece.
I agree with that. They should not either.
No, let me say my piece. Anytime I hear it, I will distance myself from it too.
Okay.
Any form of disrespect is not acceptable.
Thank you.
And
Thank
any
you.
Leader or any person who presents themselves as a leader should and ought to know better.
I have never come out. You know, I speak about Ms. Motley's policy or strategy. I don't get personal with people, even callers. That's not me, Lisa. I am not into that sort of thing. I've not been raised that way. I like to discuss ideas. And I want to go back to the fact that the Barbados Labour Party supporters seems to want to bring this since Monday they have been raising it over and over again. Your leader,
but it was appalling. I think they have a justification to say.
It was discussed on Monday. It was discussed on Tuesday. It was discussed on Wednesday.
And there has, I guess, probably two things. One, there has been no apology or no person saying that it was wrong. People endorsing it to some extent, or just throwing wool over it. I think that's one. And then two, people think that if you're going to have a comparison between what took place on Saturday and what took place on Sunday, the Barbados Labour Party came out with flying colors number one.
They came out with flying colors
as a launch. We're comparing the two events.
I don't want to spend my time on that.
You don't have to, but I will tell you, if we are doing any comparison about Saturday and Sunday, whether I'm a supporter of the Democratic Labour Party or the Barbados Labour Party, and I think we need to be honest with ourselves, what took place on Sunday was painful, and what took place on Saturday was interesting, and it was also commendable, because as we go back to the history of the organization, they brought Dame Billy Miller to talk about a little bit of things, and they brought they were in far I would say there were 9, and the Democratic Labour Party was 3.
Okay, okay.
That's what I would say.
I am not here to defend the Barbados Labour Party launch or the DLP launch.
But that's the comparison that people are calling in, talking about, though. And they're saying supposed to be judging these based on an election that's coming up, that the Democratic Labour Party failed.
Lisa, and what we are doing is the exact same thing I don't want to do, which is to spend time discussing things on the periphery. You have registered your disapproval. Monday you did it. Tuesday you did it. On Wednesday we
should. I think those are different people, though. I hear where you're coming from, but I think those are different people.
Because I'm not going to be. If you see, time is short, and I don't want to be caught up in this. And then we say, "Thank you, you've been on long." I want to say that Professor Michael Howard, eminent economist and former professor at the university, says there are 3 main things, and this is where I'm tying in what you said. His article, Sunday, April 29, page 20A, he said 3 main economic problems confronting voters.
Mm-hmm.
High levels of foreign debt payments, insufficient foreign exchange earnings by tourism and international business, and the printing of money. And he's saying, I agree, I don't follow people's manifesto because manifestos are, for the most part, never realized or carried out in the way they've been printed. They just sound nice, not nice catchphrase and things, but they never follow through. And he's saying, so the voters need to understand that the next government will have to borrow foreign money to increase the reserves. We already have a high debt, foreign debt. So these are the issues I want both parties to be addressing. So when the Barbados Labour Party supporters are telling us over and over about what took place on Sunday, I'm saying nobody's asking Miss Motley, tell us what you're going to do about that. Because as Professor Howard said, if you go to the IMF to borrow, you have to endure some stiff conditionalities.
So if you don't go to the IMF to borrow, we are enduring some stiff conditionalities
already,
right now. The country is ailing right now with the austere rate. And the austere is not fixing. So something more has to be done. You see that 4.2% gap that we have for our fiscal deficit? That $357 million? Tell me what measures the existing administration is going to... the existing administration is going to implement. Mm-hmm. Or what confidence have they... leveled or have been able to engender in the people to say, well, hey, you're going to make a change on this.
Based on what I saw from the central bank governor's report, there was some very slight glimmers coming out. He said that there was an increase in the reserves. The tourism spend, I think, went up, improved, and there was some other thing he talked about. I don't know if it's the debt. I had it written down, but I don't have it here at hand to speak. The other point...
there are two things, yes. And it's not sufficient.
Sorry?
It is not sufficient. The two glimmers of hope, which is what I think you're talking about, which is the foreign reserve increase, the stock that has gone to, like, it was $13.6 or $13.8 million, which is now, given the cover of 6.9 weeks.
Yes.
That was one glimmer. And then the tourism receipts. But that we have constantly... We have constantly said, yes, we're getting increased arrivals, but many people are arguing that the tourism receipts, that is not translating to increased...
Well, the Minister of Tourism has disputed that. I heard him myself. But the other thing that we have to look
but we,
at...
But we are not feeling any growth in the economy. We're not, the numbers are there. Everything
feeling
is right
growth?
There.
You're not feeling growth?
Yeah, everybody's crying.
But it is not a matter of just feeling growth. It's what is there, the hard facts that's on the ground.
Right, because and the hard facts is the same falling reserves that you talked about, the debt that you said Professor Howard talked about, the slide in the foreign exchange. Yes, the receipts are coming up a little bit. And the other thing too, the reason why there has been a reduction in the expenditure has a lot to do with the dampened imports because of the NSRL. But that's not a positive.
That is putting
a drag on the economy.
Lisa, let me just make my point and then you could comment on it because I'm being shifted away. I enjoy the discussion and the only reason I'm working is because I know we don't have time. The point I want to make is, first of all, let's talk about the printing of money. There was a big fear about that, rightfully so. The government has reduced printing of money from, I think, $700 million to just under $190 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but Ms. Motley has said to her she's going to import. In 3 weeks' time, she's going to get 50 new buses. In another 4 weeks' time, she's going to get 40 garbage trucks. Where is the money going to come from for this? She said she's going to reschedule the debt. That is not an answer to deal with.
That is a very real, trust me. I know the insurance companies and many others may not like the idea of that, but that is a very real possibility. What if on the 25th of May, the Barbados government either changes or remains the same? And whoever the Minister of Finance is decides, we are in dust guts. We really need to do something. We are going to go to the IMF. We have our discussions. We spend 3 months in discussions and negotiations and whatever, and we determine the way forward. Whether there's a homegrown plan that is going to inform the choices of the austere measures, or whether the plan comes from the Bretton Woods institution called the IMF, or if we choose, like my goodly, I call him professor, but Dr. Don Marshall, who always says there are other sources of cheap financing that we can look to.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, we haven't had a lot of, or haven't done sufficient research to find those organizations that we can use to, you know, get that money from.
So
right now we think about the IMF. We are members of the IMF. We have a relationship with them. They know our system, etc.
And people have been pushing that option.
Because, and if you were going to quote Professor Howard, or you're going to quote the former Prime Minister Arthur, Mr. Arthur was very real in his comments in 2015 and 2016 when he said that we are in an actual IMF program without the money.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have the money to buttress, you know, you to pay off the debt, etc. But you're paying the debt and stifling the economy. So the role, whoever that new administration, and they choose to go with the IMF, those measures still have to be taken. We still have to go down that road. And the same buses, no,
we should be having.
I'm finishing. And the buses that was mentioned by Miss Motley, the infrastructure, whether it's a new ministry, I'm not in support of any new ministry if it is going to mean it's going to be an additional ministry. I'm in support of revamping the existing set of ministries to bring, you know, to move us into wherever the economies, the growth of the economy will speak. But I can definitely say that on the 25th of May, we need to come away from the political discussion and go towards the economic and social discussion, which is where are we going to take Barbados? What is going to happen? What measures are we going to put in place? What policies are we going to use? How are we going to engender growth? All of that. And we have to stabilize our foreign reserve slide.
Let me just respond.
You want to know why the 25th? It can't happen now because nobody is running the country.
Why the 25th? We're going to be talking over each other. Why the 25th?
Because
you don't wait until the 25th to have this discussion.
Caller, we can't talk about it now. Because
you should be having that discussion with us before.
Caller. Listen, let me explain to you. On the 30th of May, 2017, our Minister of Finance addressed the country and told us that we had falling reserves, that we have too much expenditure, we don't have sufficient revenue, and he gave us the whole gamut of what was happening with the economy. We are a year past. There have been new measures that have been put in place. You want me to tell you what the central bank governor has reported in January of 2008?
No.
Between January to March,
there
has been no improvement.
I understand. We list every time we come on.
Right. So the point I'm making is
has fallen short.
No. This is not about where the government, meaning the Democratic Liberal. I'm talking about the government of Barbados.
Well, I said DLP. I said
right.
The government.
So I'm saying
you can't interpret that to mean DLP.
You asked me why are we talking about the 25th? The person who leads the country. And we are in an election right now. It is only obvious it has to be the 25th. It can't be discussed right now.
No, Lisa, this is my view.
Okay.
What should be happening is, and this is where I'm pushing the discussion, and I'm saying, get past all the emotionalism. Each person present their policies and show us how it is a one that can be realized. You have the Professor Howard, you have the former Prime Minister, you have other persons who will critique it. But then the government is under scrutiny because they have to defend their stewardship. The BLP, Miss Motley, wants to be Prime Minister and take over the race. She has to put something to us that is workable. And I'm saying
that unfortunately,
said, it is not workable.
Unfortunately, the opportunity that was given to the Democrat or the opportunity that the Democratic Labour Party had on Sunday, they missed the opportunity to tell us where it is that they want to take the country. This is down to brass tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, you're on the air, sir. You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. All right, Ms. Kia?
Sure.
This is the first time I'm speaking to you.
Pleasure. Okay. Yes.
I want to just congratulate you on how you have that lady from Trinidad. Also, Trinidad. I've been listening to her for long. She says the same thing every time. And the thing about her is I believe that somebody in Caracom, somebody in your station, encouraged her to come here when they come. I'm speaking finally. I have her give a long time to speak. It worries me about her. People come in and make conversations, and you all cut them off very fast. But I know she could come with them and say the same thing.
And so tell me what you want to say to them outside of her.
You said it very right. Because if the government empowers experience austerity measures, they too, in election year, have to come and tell the people what they're going to do to make it better. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I haven't heard that from them yet. So when she's complaining, the original party, look, let me ask people to understand what they say. Original party in a country can't do anything. It has no public purse. It has to defend certain things. I want people to understand that. Our original party in a country can't defend things. No, they just come and defend the purse and defend the country and defend the rule of representing and that. Mm-hmm. Another thing, too, is that all governments, I'm not a fool, Johnny's coming in a fool, all governments inherit lots of problems, a lot of say money, monitoring things from the other government. So come and say that this body has lots of money and this body does and that. It's not. So all governments inherit who they live over. Mm. Who come to power, okay, and that is him that. But let me just say something.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to phrase that my great friend, my great man, person that I admire, Malcolm X, said. Chickens, company said chickens come home to roost.
Mm-hmm.
It's what my advice says, and I'm putting it in a different way. Not the way he meant, think die, can you die?
Mm-hmm.
But the way I know I'm seeing it in Barbados, chickens come home to roost, and I'm going to say that, I've not seen it. You will know who love the poor people and who don't love them. The issue of Ms. Smartly with that issue, that thing, I don't understand how people suddenly saw. I was in Batsford yesterday, and some people want to say that when you're giving poor people things, every time you give poor people some money, there's a big thing about it. I see over the years that politicians took people that retire and gave them more money. Had big travel loss and give them money. They were not fussed about these things. How come all of a sudden, all over, you got to give poor people? There's some sort of people that are suffering. I grew up in Baxter's Road. I remember that my grandmother had a shop, big shop in Baxter's Road. I grew up in Baxter's Road. I knew the heritage city, crumbled in it. And let me tell you, I'm seeing some things happening in town today that I'm worried that people are already starving and suffering here.
Mm-hmm.
You pass by, the Ting Gardens, what do you call them? The Hero Square. There's about 300 people every evening there, some people I know that was working and going to work that's there waiting for food. And to my mind, let me tell you something. You can't compare it with the Motley area because the Motley area was done in the park. But people here can see them easily. And a lot of people that keep a lot of noise about the Motley area, bent from it, you know. I can probably tell you, well, I think I call some today. There's some who are hypocrites, some who have become economists. Big people, I can call them, they're good, like, you know, I'm good. Come back a lot of police comments already. And they just forget the history. And let me just tell you something. I'm concerned very much. But when Ms. Marty stated that people on a certain thing, they have to pay, have to be increased. Let me just tell you something. You said 2 weeks. And it is not bad to increase poor people that are starving and hungry. Let me just tell you something. We in Barbados are living now under paycheck to paycheck. And that doesn't mean hungry and poor people only. Because many people have to pay a mortgage, you have to find food, you have to find other things for your children. You have to live for one paycheck, the next paycheck, you don't have any money.
I have a question for you. There, you said something in your earlier statement that the governments have given jobs to older people.
No, I said older people. I said that over the years, governments, and I said one government.
Yeah, you said I put an S on it. Yes, very weird. Mm-hmm.
They took people retired from big jobs, big allowances.
Okay, retirees. Right. That's what I'm saying. Retirees. Older people still
put them back in the service to draw money.
Put them back in the system, right.
Draw money, and nobody complained about that. But many of them are hungry people without a job, and people keep a noise about it. I deplore it.
I like that statement. You know why?
That is why I said chickens come out to roost. Not like Malcolm X said, but think down. They're too full of people who don't love them. My other point, the bill of gender fear.
That's interesting.
How come the bill of gender fears every minute come and keep a lot of noise? But Miss Marley was one of my friends, you know her.
Pardon me?
Miss Marley was one of that gang.
She's from No, and she's not in the gang, and her company's not, she's not Bureau of Gender Affairs. She's the National Organization of Women and the former president. No, she's no. One is government. Gender Affairs falls under government. Sorry?
They defend women and defend women's rights. So I'm not care. I don't care if it's the government or not, who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, how come you haven't heard a statement from them yet?
Well, you probably didn't hear it. I'm sure. I'm sure, and I've seen it on Facebook. I've heard it on Brass Tacks, and there have been so many people who have come out and denounced these statements and said that as women, we should not accept and appreciate anything of that sort. So I think people have come out and said stuff. If you're asking for a specific statement from an organization, well, I haven't heard any, so I can agree with you there on that. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're going until 1:30 today.
My name is Mohammed Nassar.
Hi.
Right, and let me say that. First, I want to make a comment on a few things. But one, that lady that was on just now, was she on earlier today?
No, you sound okay. If you have a call, you're not sounding like a Nassar that I know.
I got a little call, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I want to make three short quotes here, and then I would say what I want to say about Mayor Monty. Democracy is the art of telling people to go to hell in such a way that they ask for direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman is told to go to hell by the Democratic Party, she's asking for direction.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one, another simple one. The positive thinker sees the invisible, feels the intangible, and achieves the impossible. That is Mayor Motley. Mayor Motley is a positive thinker. She has more intelligence than Fender Stroke. He has never achieved anything that I know about. He has never made any fundamental contribution to this country yet that I know about. He is not Erbar. He is not Sir David Simmons. He is not Sir Grantley Adams. He's not Tom Adams. He's not Owen Arthur.
He's his own man. He has his own rights.
And he's just a lucky human being, full stop.
Not fair.
Nothing more. I want to say the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can explain something here because I am very concerned about how Barbadian people think. And
to be consistent, I have interrupted callers.
You can interrupt.
I would say that while a lot of people, and I know there are a lot of people who don't share the same view about Mrs. Short, but I think Mrs. Short is a very tactful. Or tactical master as it relates to galvanizing the support of his party.
And I want you to tell me we have achieved in Barbados yet. That's what I let you tell me.
I'm not here to defend the Prime Minister. Likewise, I'm not here to defend the opposition leader. I'm here to talk about the issues that I see before me. But let us not digress. You say what your second point was.
Let me go on next. The last one, then I can talk about. The best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter. And no, I say all that because the average voter don't seem to understand that if I'm to put a piece of lead, if I take a 1-inch or 2-inch piece of lead, 6 feet by 6 feet, and put on your body, it is crushing you to the ground, and somebody come and lift it off, will you call me to put it back on? That's honestly.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Here's a question. If I put a 6-inch piece of lead 6x6 on your body,
mm-hmm.
and it's crushed, because that would be very heavy,
mm-hmm.
and it's crushing you into the ground, will you ask me, the person who put it on your chest, to come and put it, to lift it back again and put it back on your chest after somebody lift it off? Obviously, you have to say no.
It depends, because suppose you're getting pleasure from this pain that you are.
You can't get pleasure if you ask somebody to lift it off.
Continue. No. What's your third one?
Okay, no. I want to talk about Mayor Motley. Mayor Motley has never been Prime Minister of Norway in the world. Anybody who tried to match her, some joker said they want, but she ain't fit to be Prime Minister. How can you know who fit to be Prime Minister if they've not been a Prime Minister? How can Mr. Ellis know that you had the intelligence to do the job you done on the radio if he didn't monitor you for a little bit? What I'm saying is you're looking at a woman with all the ability. She loving, she kind, she comes from the best family. I want to repeat this here. Because I understand, I was at the meeting by the way. I am on the first man, if not the first man at Barbados.
Which meeting, the second one or the first one?
I went to the one that the foolishness that the Democrat Labour Party had.
Well,
it's the most immoral, nasty thing in my life.
Let's keep the language, you know, just let us keep
Mr.
clean.
Mr. Short came out and he said, so let me tell you, man, the family first. All of you ladies don't understand this one bloodline. Let's call it Short, this bloodline. I know, man, only two grandfathers. I know it all then. They were always clean human beings, giving and helping and doing everything possible to help black people in this country. Always. I know Mayor Motley's father. Mayor Motley's father would go into court and he would see people, I had the lawyers do it too, but I talk about him. See people in serious trouble and no, can't afford a lawyer. And he would stand up and defend them. I'd say he's their lawyer. I don't hear nobody for that. I know Mayor Motley's uncle, Alombe Motley. Alombe Motley put everything on the line for black people in this country. I know that. He even came up with the word to destroy me, and he had the courage to stand up on the platform and speak. It took a lot of guys to do that. I also know Mayor Motley's mother, one of the most loving human beings that this country has in it. I ask him a question. How a human being that come through all of that class, decency, respect, kind, how could she be not other than a good leader? Then she have all her family around her to tell her, my God, you can't do ABC. Why don't the boy run short to tell you that?
I don't like those. Sometimes there are some low blows that some people can give. I mean, you have some interesting comments, but sometimes you have some low ones, which I will not entertain. I entertain it from either side. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We are actually at the end of our show. It has been a pleasure being with you from 10 a.m. this morning on today, the 9th of May, 2018. And we go up until 1:30. No more callers, of course. So I would just say thank you to my producer, Mr. Dennis Johnson. And I would like to especially thank the callers, those who agreed with me, those who didn't agree with me, those who shared some good insight, and those who enjoyed the discussion. We had a lot of WhatsApps, none of which I have been able to read. Many, many WhatsApps. And I'm sure there were some emails as well. I thank you for your interest. And I know these are interesting times. And I encourage you to participate in the democracy that we have, which is Barbados. Go out and support the varying parties, see what they're saying, and hear from them so that you can make a very informed decision come the 24th of March, 2018. It has been my pleasure. Have a wonderful day. This is Down to Brass Tacks.